Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And morning to you online from Fort Jones, California. Thank you for joining us as well. Here we are in the middle of summer in this tough place called San Clemente. Although it's summer year-round here, right? Pretty much. If you're in Michigan, for sure. So I might have mentioned I was trying to remember if I mentioned, but in case I hadn't. So it was around Christmas, my wife gave me a gift, which was a dance video series, and it's called Show Her Off. It's my gift, Christmas. it's been fun. Showing her off, it's kind of got this country feel to it, so it's that vibe, so it's not ballroom dancing or whatever, but there's spins and loops and, you know, things, and so we've been learning it, we could tear it up for like a 3-minute country song. That's about the shelf life of this thing, but you quickly realize when you're doing it, that really the make or break it piece isn't necessarily knowing the steps, but it's catching the rhythm and getting the vibe, the rhythm, and really getting in touch with the rhythm that kind of makes or breaks the whole experience, right? And so obviously if you struggle with rhythm or finding the rhythm, you know, kind of thing, then you're only going to get as far as kind of steps. It's going to be super mechanical. But anyway, so that's been interesting, and we've been chipping away at that. I was looking at a passage this week, the Christian faith is just that. The life of a Christian is based on faith. It's what, by definition, makes you a Christian and continues you as a Christian, this idea of trusting God. And it's super critically important. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's super interesting when you think about it. There's a lot of things to the Christian faith, and when we think about pleasing God, I wonder how many of us, we said, you know, what would be the primary thing that you think about when you're pleasing God? Would faith come to mind? But faith, like a dance, there are steps to it, but what's critically important is understanding its rhythms. Because when we understand the rhythms of faith and how it works, then we can grow in it, and if we can grow in it, then we actually know we're drawing closer to the Lord because it pleases Him. So we're going to talk about that this morning. The title of this morning's message is The Dance, How to Recognize the Rhythms of Christian Faith. And we're going to look at John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. Now, this story is going to be interesting as we work our way through this Gospel of John. The story is about a boy that is healed. And I'm not going to really focus on that in terms of healing, does God heal today and all that. We'll have plenty of time for that as we work our way through the Gospels because it comes up multiple times. I want to focus on the father of the boy, because we see that he goes through phases of his faith. We see, and in seeing that, we can kind of discover a rhythm that takes place that I would argue happens to us all. The question is, do we recognize it, and can we engage in it? So, we were here last week in terms of this story. We're transitioning. The prior story was the woman at the well. So if you're with us, we talked about the woman at the well, Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. If you remember, we got some insight on how to talk about the Lord with other people, evangelism, if you will. And also, we saw how God worked, and ultimately, Jesus, this lady came to Christ effectively, and so did a bunch of people in Samaria, her town. So by way of context, before we jump into our passage this morning, let me just read a couple verses before it. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. she said. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. Okay, now our passage. After the 2 days, he departed, Jesus departed for Galilee. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. Now, he's highlighting the fact that he's, remember, I told you, he's, if you remember, we're transitioning from Jerusalem, and he's working his way to Galilee. Jerusalem, opposition, major political pushback, the Pharisees were against him. It wasn't good. He was well known, but it wasn't good. When he gets to Galilee, people aren't going to care as much. There isn't this highly politically charged climate. They're way more casual. So I believe Jesus is alluding to it's going to be easier in Galilee than it was in Jerusalem. But regardless, so he came to Galilee, verse 45. The Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast. That's the Passover feast, for they too had gone to the feast. And so this is really the beginning of the Galilean ministry for Jesus. It lasted about a year and a half. And we'll see more and more stuff that happens in this area. But clearly, the Jews are called to go to Jerusalem to respect and honor the Passover. And so when they were there, when Jesus was there, if you remember, he was turning over tables and doing some pretty miraculous things. They're like, oh, wow, he's in our town. Verse 46, so he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. That was John 2, we talked about that. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. Okay, so a little perspective here. Cana, Capernaum, about 16 miles apart, they're all around the Galilean area, okay? This is hometown for a lot of his disciples. Peter, James, and John were from this area. Nathaniel was from this area, so this was kind of home base. This area was also a tax collection center. And so when people paid taxes, they would come to this area to pay their taxes, and there would often be an official, a government official, that would take those taxes. Potentially, that's what this dad or this official of this son is. We don't really know much about him. He could have been a Jew. He could have been a Gentile. He could have just been a messenger for the royal court. Don't really know. But what we do know is he's identified as somebody a little more exalted in the community, and we also know that his son was ill. But not only ill, look at verse 47. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judah to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So this man's son was going to die. We're well down the road. In fact, he came to Jesus probably indicates he's already gone down the doctor road. He's probably already gone down the home remedy road or any kind of treatment that was available at the time. He's probably done everything he could do. And now the miracle worker shows up. Jesus, the healer. So at this point, he's saying, let's give it a shot. Let's give it a shot. Okay? Now, this is a rhythm. This is the beginning of a rhythm in a dance of the Christian faith. And I put it this way, number on your outline. I recognize this. It usually starts with a felt need. Faith in our life will often be triggered, or the opportunity for faith will be triggered when things are hard, when there's struggles. It's not good. It's not good. And quite honestly, usually out of desperation because there's no other option. Think about it the other way. If things are great, there's no problems, everything is peachy keen, why faith? It's all going good. I'm doing fine, right? And if you really think about your life, the life of faith, probably the most significant times in your life were the most difficult times. That's how it works. I remember, and I probably mentioned this story, but I'll mention it again. When I was a non-Christian, I was in high school, and I tweaked my knee. And the doctor said I needed surgery. I didn't want surgery. The last thing you want is a high schooler. So I heard that there was this big meeting in LA with some healer that was going to be there. I'll do that. I can drive to LA. You mean he might heal my knee? Well, yeah, no. Okay, I'll go. Why wouldn't I go? I need help. I don't want surgery. I'll go. And it's interesting because people get super religious when things are really hard. Right? I mean, that's just how it works. By the way, my knee didn't get healed and I got surgery. But that's not the point. The point is, I was pushed to even consider, or I was contemplating the things of God and kind of seeking in a very superficial way the things of God based on what? A felt need. And so the reason I bring that up is when difficulties come your way, those are faith opportunities. We often don't think that way. When difficulties come our way, we think, how do we get rid of it, avoid it, medicate out of it? Versus no, this is the first step in the dance. It's not the end game, for sure. And it's certainly a superficial process, but it's more of a perspective from a Christian point of view to view that through a different lens than just a problem in my life. Yes, it's a problem in my life. Yes, it's difficult. And if I can solve it super quick, I'll solve it. But if I can't, could there be a faith lesson? Could you be entering into a dance that God wants you to enter into? Something to think about. And this could be financial struggles, physical struggles, emotional struggles, relational struggles. A lot of ways we can struggle. A lot of ways we can feel pain. A lot of ways we can feel difficulty. Is at the beginning of the rhythm of faith. Are these really opportunities? But look what Jesus said to him in the next verse, verse 48. Unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. So he's taken a step. Now Jesus has taken a step. And he's saying, I know where you're coming from. Seeing is believing. Right? Well, if you think about it, if you see it, you don't need to believe it. There's no faith, right? So Jesus is kind of correcting him, if you will. He's highlighting that this idea of it's pretty superficial. And the official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. So, come where? To his house. Okay? So the first thing is, hey, my kid's dying. I need some help here. Jesus now pulls back the lead and says, hold on. It's not just about seeing is believing. And he's pulling back and saying, well, come to my house. Lay your hand on my kid before he dies. So he's putting Jesus in his box. He's implying that if Jesus doesn't come, then his kid's going to die. He's implying in the timing that if he doesn't come there before he dies, there's no hope because Jesus can't raise anybody from the dead. See the limits there. He's limiting and he's boxing God in because that's all he knows. That's all he knows. I love this. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. In other words, not going to your house. So that's not going to happen. And here's the deal. I don't need to go to your house. Okay? And so we're not going to do that. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. So it's a little deeper now. They've had a little tango. And now Jesus is basically saying, I'm not going to give you the ta-da moment. I'm not going to give you the magician moment. He just gives him directions and tells him what to do. And the man believed. The question, what proof did that guy have to be able to believe? None. He didn't have anything. But the text said he was in the dance. And Jesus told him what to do, and he said, okay, I'll do that. So it's a little deeper now. And it's on him to what he's going to do or not. And the text says that he went on his way. He had nothing but the words of Jesus to go on. And this is ultimately what faith looks like. Number two on your outline, how to recognize the rhythm of Christian faith. It requires stepping into the unknown. Faith will always have an element of unknown attached to it, uncertainty attached to it, or put a different way, a little bit of doubt. I don't care how good you are at the dance. There's still going to be that little prick of, yeah, but what if it didn't? But that's normal. Because if you could see it, you don't need faith. And this is how it works. It's a little unnerving. And this is what makes faith, faith. Look how Hebrews 11:1 defines faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. By definition, hope and not seen means you can't be categorically for certain. And we all know that, right? Yeah. There's a lot I could say about this, so let me truncate it a little bit. This is where faith goes into action and goes beyond the idea. And that action isn't going to be based on your terms, i.e. the official, come to the house, do it before he dies. It's going to be based on God's terms, because we're talking about faith in God. So he will set the terms. So this is where the word of God becomes super important. Because what steps or non-steps is God calling you to take in this dance? You got to know that. So, I mean, it could be things God is telling you, could mean, God's saying, make the call, write the letter, give the gift, quit striving, start praying. Just a couple days ago, had an encounter with an individual, and it was hard. And I was like, I don't know what else I could do. It was hard. Oh, wait, what am I studying? Faith? Dang, hate it when that happens. Lord, this is hard. I don't know how to resolve this. Maybe it's an opportunity for faith. Okay. God, you told the official to go home. What do you want me to do? And it was like, read Galatians 5. What's in Galatians 5? Fruit of the flesh, fits of rage, anger, discord, fractions. Ooh. That was my meeting. Right under it, fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Oh. Because I keep ruminating, God, and I keep reflecting and reminding myself of the fruit of the flesh meeting and how it wasn't fair and how it wasn't cool and how it was hurtful and how it was... What are you doing there? That's not faith. That's just mind grind, self-preserving. And so it was like, okay, I got it. So instead of making them wrong, talk about what is right. So instead of criticizing them, make compliments. Step into it. Go home. Right? Based on what? Now, here's the deal. Did I want to do it? No. Did it feel unfair? Yes. Was there doubt whether it was ever going to work out? 100%. But that's faith. And this is literally, you know, I've had my fair share of, you know, doubts and confusion and grief and struggle in ministry over the decades. And this is why my life verse, I could call it my faith verse, is so important, because it reminds me of my limitations and the possibilities that are there. Now to him, Ephesians 3:20, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever, amen. In other words, your perspective, Mark, is going to be limited on the possibilities. That's why we're glad you're not God and he is. And the fact that he can do more than you could ask or imagine is pretty cool. So hold on to that. That's your faith line, and move forward in what God is calling you to do. That's stepping into the unknown. If we bail, the dance is over. But if we stay in it, the rhythm continues. But that's not just it. That's not it. There's more. As he was going down, so we got the official going back home, Cana to Capernaum, 16-mile journey, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. He's checking into it. And they said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. Love it. The guy's checking. Is this coincidence or is this really God, Jesus? Look at the result. The dance continues. And he himself believed in all his household. So we have a Christian home now. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Capernaum. We'll talk about signs in the next weeks ahead. But do you see what happened? This man and his family became Christians. They believed. And now we are told that this belief isn't just him. It's the deeper things. It's a family thing. Why? Pretty basic, straight up. The boy was healed, but not immediately. But the boy was healed. Got it? So faith wasn't just a man holding on to what somebody says to do and just grinning and bearing it. There was more to the dance. And this is the other part of the rhythm to recognize in the Christian faith. Number three on your outline, remember God reveals himself along the way. Like I told you, it's a dance. It's our involvement, God's involvement. It's back, it's forth. It may be a slow dance, it may be a fast dance. It may last for years, it may last for minutes. But God will show up. Why will God show up? Because we're doing things that please him. Faith. I mean, look at that dance that they just went through. He first came, just heal my neck. Come to my house. No, hold on. You just want your Tata moment. Okay, well, come to my house. No, you just need to go back to your house. I'll take care of it. Okay, I'll do that. And he gets back there, did he really take care of it? What time did that happen? Oh yeah, he did take care of it. Whoa, deeper. He's feeling better. You know what? Kids, wife, everybody's believing. Why? Because God showed up. Well, God didn't show up immediately. There was a dance, there was a rhythm, and this is what happens. Our felt need, we superficially seek out to God. But ultimately, we're going to grow deeper, because what are our next steps? We come into contact with God's word, we move forward in God's word, and he shows up. Think about when you became a Christian. Did you know every facet of your Christian faith? No. But what you do know, you stepped into, and what happened? God showed up, born again by the Spirit of God. Think about Paul the Apostle. Think about his thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians. Was he struggling? 100%. What did he do? What God wanted him to do? Pray about it. And what happened? God showed up. Took away his pain. Didn't take away the thorn, gave him a whole new perspective, different part of a dance, gave him a whole new perspective to where he said, I don't want that thorn gone. It's good for me. Whoa, that's supernatural stuff. And he didn't come up with it on his own. Yeah, I was just thinking about it this morning, actually. My father-in-law, my wife and myself have been praying for my father-in-law for ever since we've been married, 40 years. Crusty old fire captain. Classic guy. And he'd go to church every once in a while. But here's the kind of guy he was. Him and his wife would go to church. The pastor would walk up, or the priest, or whatever church he was at. And they'd walk up, and he'd do this. And I'm going, what are you doing? He goes, I know you're after my money. I know you're after my money. You know, just messing with him, right? So he viewed religion as a big game. He viewed the church as just a money-grabbing thing. But, you know, I'll go along with it because my wife likes it and, you know, that kind of thing. So I'll be honest, you know, we're praying for this guy for years, decades. He probably viewed me as like I'm kind of this weird anomaly because, you know, I'm not an Irish priest, but I don't know. We're just not even going to go there. And so we're praying for him. And if I'm honest with you, I thought this is never going to happen. But keep praying. And some of you know the story. His wife died before he did. Became a changed man. It was amazing. He literally went to church like 3-4 times a week. Always praying and making his peace with God. Talked about guilt, talked about shame, became very transparent, very open. He's passed now. I would have never thought that was how it's going to go down. In fact, everybody thought he was going to go first. So how God shows up, when God shows up, is so unique and so beyond what we could ask or imagine. That's the cool part about faith, quite honestly. That's the part where, you know, God shows up and we're going, whoa, that's amazing. And then the dance continues. That song may end, but then there's another song to engage in. So, just want to encourage you in that. I know a lot of us are in different struggles in our life, different challenges. You're not certain how it's going to turn out or even see a way out. Could this be a faith opportunity? That instead of you just labeling it and moving on, you're going, no, what does God want me to do now? Or not do? And then stepping into that, and then waiting for him to show up. It could be a 40-year dance. It could be a 4-day dance. It could be a 4-minute dance. Don't know. And you know what's interesting about dancing? If I took a poll right now and said, okay, raise your hand if you like to dance. You know as well as I do, most women would raise their hands and no guys would. That's just kind of how it goes. I've done enough weddings and been at the reception to know the guys are sitting on the side, you know, trying to act all cool and, you know, oh no, you girls, you get out there. But really, you're afraid. You don't want to look like an idiot. It's super embarrassing if you don't know what you're doing. I mean, it's just a wild thought anyway, right? The idea of even dancing is kind of a crazy thing, that with the sound of music, we just do these gyrations that we wouldn't even normally do. It's and there's this weird kind of confidence, like, oh yeah, you know. You know, it's like, where did that come from? Because when we walk outside, we don't do that. It's kind of funny. But here's the deal. We got sideliners and we got participators. And let me just put it this way. The Christian walk, the walk of faith, is a dance party. And the only way to be involved is to get on the dance floor. And if you don't get on the dance floor, here you go, you're not going to please God. Because without it, it's impossible to please God. So that means it's going to feel a little uncomfortable at first. That means you're not going to go crazy. You can just start with the beat. Find the rhythm. Play that cool card for a while. Right? But at least you're out there. At least you're out there. And we all have our own personal dance. Not everybody's the same. Principles are the same. The rhythms are the same. But you see how this is very different than the world. The best the world has is have faith, keep the faith, have enough faith. I'm not sure what that means other than almost like it's like think positive. That's not the walk of faith in the Christian life. There's a back and forth. There's steps and there's rhythms. And God has called us to that. Let me leave you with this final verse. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And let me insert, so dance in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We can be thankful. We can have this deeper connection with God. We can see him work in new ways if we're willing to engage in faith. And I hope that this morning, just understanding the rhythms of it a little bit will help us to step more on the dance floor than not. Lord, I thank you for your word and just this unique story that if we really unpack it, wow. I'm just thinking this guy's walk home, 16 miles. What's he thinking? Is he doubting? Does he feel discouraged that he left without Jesus coming with him? And so it's not going to happen. Or was he encouraged? We don't know. But all those emotions are real in our walk with you. And so, Lord, I do pray for us that we would just participate more in faith. We definitely live in a culture that is faithless and doesn't require a whole lot of faith. We like to control everything and have everything, and a lot of things aren't out of control, and when it is, we fall apart. But that's okay, as long as we fall apart and enter into this dance of faith with you and just trust you in deeper ways and watch you show up. So, Lord, I do pray for our struggles right now, our challenges right now that all of us have in this auditorium and online, that these would be places where we could enter in with you, seek you, talk to you, hear about our next steps. What do you want us to do? According to the official, how do you want us to go home? And Lord, to trust that you'll show up. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. And help us to be open to even how you show up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.